Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
LSU has the ball, 4th and 10, 1:47 left. There's a snap to Hodgson. Hodgson, he looks. He throws to the end zone, and I think you know what happens next. Somebody's going to hear
the roar of the crowd. This is a presentation from which those great moments in sports history are revived. Come listen to the roar of the crowd presented by Pigpen Sports.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And we have our Roar of the Crowd series going strong. For this October 8th, we have one of the greatest games ever played in college football history. As a matter of fact, in the year 2019, the ESPN voted this one of the top 150 games in 150 years of college football. It ranked 85th out of 150 on this list. So pretty tremendous game. Played on October 8th, 1988, as the Auburn Tigers invaded the LSU Tigers at Tiger Stadium. And what a game this was. Now let's talk about this. You know, Auburn had come into the game. They were undefeated and they were, you know, riding high, knocking off the likes of Kentucky in the first game, Kansas in the second game, Tennessee, North Carolina, and had come in 4-0 to play at Tiger Stadium in Baton Rouge. But they had to play a team that was sort of reeling because, you know, LSU had started off with a win at Texas A&M and then at Tennessee, but then they lost an out-of-conference game to Ohio State in a 33-36 game, close game to Ohio State, who had a very good team that year. And then they lost to another powerhouse, number 17 in the nation, Florida. So they dropped all the way from rank number 9 and were going into this game with Auburn being unranked. Auburn going into the game ranked number 4 in the nation. Well, Auburn and ESPN had wanted to try to get more money out of this matchup because it was a premier matchup on that October 8th Saturday. And it was originally scheduled for a night game because that's where the fans at LSU love to have people come in to their stadium under the lights, because LSU is very dominant in that stadium under the lights. But ESPN was covering the game. They wanted it to be a day game. So did Auburn. Everybody would make more money because there would be a bigger audience on television to watch it. But LSU held their ground and stuck to their guns and kept it as a night game, much to the chagrin, maybe to the chagrin of the team in coming from Auburn. But things were, like we said, they were 2-2 were the LSU Tigers, and played this number 4 team in the nation. There was a lot of uneasiness coming into that game. The LSU team had not won a home game in Sunshine in 7 years, so that's one reason they wanted to keep it in the night game. At their second year coach, Mike Archer was quoted the day before the game saying they could have offered $5 million and I wouldn't have moved the game to that afternoon time slot. To play in Tiger Stadium at night is the most important thing to this football team, end quote, by the LSU coach at the time. So this was just a tremendous game in all aspects, but it was a defensive struggle. LSU could not move the ball very well at all against Auburn. And Auburn had a couple drives. They took a 6-0 lead in the game, and they held on to that for much of the game. And then it came down to last few minutes of the game. LSU got the ball. Quarterback number 13, Tommy Hodgson, started to put together a little bit of rhythm and methodically moved the team down inside the 20-yard line and eventually got down to the 11-yard line with a 4th and 10 from the 11-yard line, 1:47 left, down by 6, and took the snap and rolled back, looked left for quite a long time. It seemed like an eternity looking left, and that receiver didn't open. All of a sudden, he turns the center of field, fires to the back of the end zone in the center, and magic happened when number 33, Eddie Fuller, comes down wide open with the pass in the back of the end zone, both feet down, only needed one, and that's when he heard the roar of the crowd. The LSU Tiger kicker Browndyke came on, and he drilled the PAT right between the pipes, and LSU took a 7-6 lead, and that crowd not only roared, but they stomped, they danced, they did everything, so much that it shook the very stadium. And people claimed it did, and allegedly it activated a seismic reader, recorder on the LSU campus and registered a seismic reading on the graph paper that they have there. So that's why that is called the Earthquake Game, and what a game it truly was. Of course, the Tigers held on and won that game 7-6, kept playing that great defense. And the Tigers' last-minute victory ended up breaking Auburn's 9-game unbeaten streak in the SEC. And both teams at the end of the season finished 6-1 in the league. Auburn ended up going all the way with that one loss all season long, probably took them out of national championship contention. They ended up playing January 2nd, 1989 in the Sugar Bowl in New Orleans again, and end up losing to number 4 Florida State. They were ranked number 7 and lost a 7-13 game to the Florida State Seminoles there, while Auburn had those two early losses. Well, they carried that all the way till November 19th, suffered a loss at number 3 Miami, but got pounded pretty good, 3-44, and won their last game over Tulane, and then lost in the Hall of Fame Bowl in Tampa to a very good Syracuse team, 23-10. Just some great football history, one of the greatest games ever played, and hopefully you've been following on pigskindispatch.com. We've been trying to put some of these greatest games ever played in the NFL and college football. We have over 250 of them that we're trying to share with you this season, with some great posts and some great memories, and this one was definitely one for a roar of the crowd. So till next time, everybody, have a great Gridiron Day.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that, Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts. It's found right here on the Sports History Network.